I could cite to you several illustrations from a period of time much closer to today's date, but there is one that sticks in my mind that was probably one of the earlier incidents that illustrated what I'm talking about, and that was in 2009 when in the Miss USA contest, no, I didn't watch it, but I found out about this. A young lady who had been named Miss California USA, her name was Carrie Prejean. She was one of the finalists in the Miss USA contest, and as they all do, each one of them came before a panel of people who asked them questions. You may remember when Carrie Prejean was asked the question, and the question was put forward by an openly gay journalist. Sorry, I had trouble grabbing that word. The question was this. Just recently, the state of Vermont has become the second state in the United States to legalize same-sex marriage. Do you believe that that should be the law for all of the United States? As I have quoted you almost verbatim the question, I can almost quote you verbatim her answer. She said, "First of all, I'm thankful to live in America where we all have a choice in so many things to do what we want to do." But she says, "Due to the way that I was raised and the background that I have come from, I believe that marriage should be between a man and a woman. That's my opinion. That's how I feel." Over the next few days, that poor girl was brutally demonized by everybody from the fellow who asked the politically loaded question to even the officials of the pageant itself, who expressed their sadness and disappointment that she gave such a narrow-minded answer and that she needs to be more tolerant. Now you say, well, we've come a long way in 7 years, and that's the truth, brother. I'm telling you what. A story like that today wouldn't even make the news anymore, would it? Because so many states in our nation have passed laws legalizing same-sex marriage. And in fact, as Brother Woodruff made reference to in his prayer this morning, the Alabama Supreme Court Chief Justice has been removed from his position because he has taken a stand. We need to be more tolerant. We need to be less narrow-minded, more open-minded. We need to be more open in our thinking. You know, it's not just moral issues, it's religious issues as well. And those of us in the Lord's church have perhaps been hit by some of those questions that grow out of that kind of thinking in the religious arena. There are folks who are telling us all the time, you know, you're just too narrow-minded. You need to relax a little bit. And there are even those among so-called churches of Christ who have begun to take a position that we need to lay aside our preconceived notions and our historical behavior. Very sadly, this week I forwarded an open letter that had been written by one of the local ministers in this area as he extolled the virtues of the Pepperdine University lectureships that he had just returned from, where he named a big string of denominationalists and other political leaders who had been invited to speak, and he pontificated on the fact that we in the Church of Christ have really had an embarrassing history when it comes to being open and fellowshipping those who don't agree with us on every issue. In fact, get a load of this. Here's what you'll be told. It would be wrong to say anything wrong about someone's beliefs, or to say that someone's beliefs or practices are wrong. You see anything wrong with that statement? You see anything contradictory about that statement? It would be wrong for anyone to say that someone's beliefs and practices are wrong. Okay, I said someone's beliefs and practices are wrong. Then what am I? Well, you're wrong. Well, why am I? You just said I'm wrong. You see the weird sense of warped philosophy there? Join me there in your Bibles in Revelation chapter 2. Let's begin reading at verse 18. To the angel of the church in Thyatira write, the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet are like burnished bronze, says this, I know your deeds and your love and faith and service and perseverance, and that your deeds of late are greater than at first. But I have this against you, that you tolerate the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, and she teaches and leads my bondservants astray so that they commit acts of immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent, and she does not want to repent of her immorality. Behold, I will throw her on a bed of sickness and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation unless they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with pestilence, and all the churches will know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts, and I will give to each one of you according to your deeds. The Lord said the thing that he had against the church at Thyatira was that they tolerated Jezebel. Look at the list of Jezebel's sins. Before we do that, maybe we ought to ask the question, who's Jezebel? Thought she was in the Old Testament. Indeed, she is. The story of Jezebel continues from 1 Kings chapter 16 all the way to the story of her death in 2 Kings chapter 9. She was one more wicked woman. She was the wife of King Ahab. She was a foreigner, someone that Ahab should never have married in the beginning, but she did more to promote the idol worship of Baal, the god of the Sidonians. Jezebel was a terrible, terrible, dark mark on the record of the northern kingdom of Israel. Understand that the book of Revelation is written in figurative language, and many times we may not even understand the figure that's represented. I believe that this Jezebel is probably not the very name of the woman that the Lord is referring to. In fact, he may be referring to a group of people who have committed these sins, but most commentators will agree that very possibly he's calling out a woman in the church at Thyatira, and he's representing her with this name, Jezebel. Take a look at the sins that she's committed. First of all, he says she calls herself a prophetess. Obviously, she's not. She teaches false doctrine. She leads the Lord's bondservants astray. She promotes immorality. She refuses to repent. Take a look next at God's assessment of her. God says, first of all, he disapproved of her. Secondly, God says he disapproves of those who follow her. And thirdly, and most importantly to our discussion, God obviously disapproves of the church for tolerating her, for going along with her sin. She has sinned. She has influenced those around her to sin, and the church is putting up with it. The word tolerates there, as I read to you from the New American Standard Version, is the same in the English Standard Version. I think some translations say allow, or you allow Jezebel, the woman Jezebel. The point is clear. The fact is, there are several challenges today that are somewhat similar. Challenges that we face today, such as matters of morality. We've already talked about some of that, but you and I, and especially our young people, are being confronted face to face with issues that have to do with morality. And perhaps the biggest, wildest one of all is the sin of homosexuality. It would not even be in good taste for me to call to our attention some of the things that have just appeared in the last few days in the news regarding those who want the world to accept the sin of homosexuality as normal behavior. Back over in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, God's word says, "Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuality, or homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." That's not my rule, that's God's rule. It's not that way because I like it that way, it's that way because God said it's that way. The sin of fornication is running rampant through our land. And young girls are not being sufficiently taught, by and large, that fornication is a sin. That the sexual union outside of marriage constitutes sin. In fact, back to that same passage, 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 and 10, covers that sin with two or three different terms there in that list. Our young people are coming face to face with the temptations of lust and pornography. Jesus said, if a man looks upon a woman to lust after her, Matthew 5:27, he's committed adultery with her already in his heart. And in a recent survey, as many as 50% of Americans surveyed said they really don't have any problem with pornography as long as a person keeps it private. That's not the point. Lying. We've raised several generations of liars in our nation today because there seems to be every generation less and less concerned and appreciative of the truth and telling the truth. Our politicians lie to us, and we accept that as the status quo. Businessmen lie and cheat and are constantly, I don't mean to characterize every politician and every businessman, but it seems like that it's more normal now for everybody to have to be checked and double checked to make sure they've not cheated on their income tax. Colossians 3, verse 9. Lie not to one another, seeing that you've put away the old man with his deeds. There is religious error that confronts us and the next generation that's coming up. How good a job are we doing at preparing them to be able to answer questions like the question that centers around or centers in the belief that any religion is okay as long as it's a religion. You can worship God, or you can worship Allah, or you can worship Muhammad, or you can worship a head of lettuce. Whatever you want to do, as long as you're worshiping, that'll be okay. Except Jesus said, I'm the way and the truth and the life, and no man comes unto the Father except by me. Or what about this idea that, yes, it's Jesus, and as long as you've got Jesus in your heart, everything's going to be fine. It's as long as it's Jesus, doesn't matter what you do or how you do it, just make sure it's Jesus. And Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but those who do the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Not only do we have similar challenges today, we've got similar dangers today. Similar to what the church at Thyatira faced. Dangers like this demand for tolerance. The fact that we've got lawmakers right now who are just being barely held back from passing laws that say a gospel preacher who stands up and reads from the Bible in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10 is guilty of hate speech and needs to be put in jail for it. That's going to be a challenge. That's going to be a danger before much longer. Is it really tolerance that we're after? No. I submit to you, it's not tolerance that it's all about. It's all about forcing everybody to accept evil. And you know who's behind that. That's what it's about. Convincing everybody to say no to God and yes to the devil. We've got the same reality today. The same reality that they had back there in Revelation 2. God's standard does not change. Men are still accountable to God and to God's will. It does not matter what the United States government does. It doesn't matter what laws are passed by Congress, Senate, representatives. It doesn't make any difference. Men are still answerable to God. Jesus said in John 12:48, the words that I've spoken unto you, the same shall judge you in that last day. So you see, we're not all that far removed from the church at Thyatira there in Revelation chapter 2. But know for sure that this matter of tolerance that the world is crying for is a one-way street. Tom and I had a discussion last night, and I'll have to confess, some of this lesson grew out of our discussion. And he made that good point that we've all heard. He said, you know, everybody wants you to be tolerant. But if you disagree with them, they're certainly not going to tolerate you. That's the devil's position. Tolerance is a one-way street. Again, we're not talking about self-righteousness. We're not talking about unrighteous judgment. We're talking about tolerating sin. Ask yourself the question, is it sin? And if the answer is yes, make sure you're against it. If you're subject to our Lord's invitation in any way, we invite you to respond as we stand and sing.